This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
I hate to say this because it does sound very general, right? I mean, that's advice that everybody gives, but it really is the truth. If you stick with it, I think it's persistence over time. Having that long form view that, okay, well, I may not see success tomorrow. I might not see it next year, but if I do the right things, it's going to come eventually. And I truly believe that.
Welcome to the Color of Money podcast. I am one of the hosts today, Emmerich Peace. I have my co-host, Bo Mankiti, and our special guest, just a little young whippersnapper who's just on top of his game. And I can say that because I'm twice your age, Daniel Walcott. And we're going to talk about this whole idea of the journey of the 30 under 30. I'm excited about this conversation because I see Daniel around. We talk a little bit. I'm anxious to get to know more about Daniel and just this whole journey of 30 under 30. The beautiful part about Daniel is he works under Bo Mankiti's tutelage in one of Bo's markets and at Capital Properties. And so, Bo, tell us, let's start this thing off with Daniel and where you guys are and how this all works for you and just the excitement about having a young man like this in your space.
Yeah, I mean, it's so exciting today to have this conversation. And get a chance to go a little deeper on the journey. I've been privileged to have a front row seat to Daniel's success and his journey from starting in real estate to seeing what he's built, to being a 30 under 30, to starting to build a family, to taking the principles of real estate and wealth building into his life and into his family. So I'm really excited for this conversation today. And I think we're really going to hit on some of that journey in the real estate sales business that so many of our listeners are on, right? And then we're also going to get to dig deep into sort of a mindset about real estate as a wealth building tool. So Daniel is an amazing young man, and it's been really an honor to see him as part of our special 30 under 30 club around the country and everything that he's accomplished. So Let's kind of kick it off with Daniel telling us. Daniel, can you tell us just a little bit about how'd you get into real estate? Like, tell us a little about your story, you know, before real estate even started, before you even got into this industry. What were you doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the kind words. For me, real estate started in college. I grew up in Long Island, New York. And so I came down to D.C. To attend Howard University. It was my first time in D.C., first time ever visiting or even knowing what an HBCU was. And throughout my time at Howard, I believe either my sophomore or junior year, there was a real estate club. I've always just kind of been into, I was a international business major. So I was always had a business mindset. I was always entrepreneurial, even throughout college, just starting small businesses here and there, just seeing how I can make money, truly. And so joining the real estate club was my first experience in real estate. And it was one of those things where they would bring in different people from different professions, whether they be investors or commercial brokers or owners, just to speak about their experience in real estate. And I think that's what really sparked that light or that plug for me with regards to real estate. And so junior, senior year, I was a part of the real estate club. Yeah.
Daniel, I'm gonna hop in there for just 1 second. I'd be really interested to hear what was it that you heard from those speakers when you were in that real estate club and people came in and spoke to you? What was it that resonated that made you say, hey, that's something I'd like to do?
Yeah. So I think what really hit for me was that I think, one, that there was this whole entire world that I had no idea about. Right. And one thing that really stuck out to me was the a real estate investor who came in to speak to us. And just the fact that he owned buildings, I think just triggered this idea, because to me that was just so foreign, right? To see this, and he was a fairly younger Black guy. And just to see someone like me who's entrepreneurial, who's in the business, and saying that I own property, I own buildings, like this was the first that I've even thought that was even a thing, right? I thought, well, if you have a commercial building, then maybe a corporation owns it. But there's no way an individual can own a piece of property or even like land like that. I think that's one of the one things that stood out to me, like, oh, like there's this whole world of real estate that I had no idea about.
Well, sorry about that. I got you off track. You were just telling us about how Howard was sort of your entree to DC. And so where'd you go from there?
And so coming out of Howard, I graduated with a degree in international business and a concentration in entrepreneurship. But my first job was actually in sales and marketing. I worked for a local startup. Some people might know about it. It's called Living Social. They started it actually in DC. And so that's how I kind of got my start in sales. And that was real sales, hitting the phones every day, $100 minimum, just trying to talk to different business owners. And so 2 years in, I make a sales call. Or actually, somebody calls in and he wants to market his real estate classes. He wants to teach people how to get their real estate license through the 40-hour course. And I set him up on our platform. I got everything worked out for him. And then I thought to myself, well, that's actually a really good deal, right? He was discounting it. And so I ended up setting up on the platform, but I also bought the course as well. Back then it was in person. And oddly enough, and this is how I think we've really got here, was those courses were in person and it took place at the Keller Williams Capital Properties office. And so that was, at that time, that was the first brokerage I knew. And so once I passed the class and got my license, it was almost a no-brainer. I didn't know to talk to different brokers or do anything like that. The only brokerage I knew was Keller Williams Capital Properties. And that's how I got licensed and was able to join the organization.
All right. So, Daniel, we're going back to that question. How did you know you were on the right track? How did you know you were in the right place? You said it was Capital Properties was the only place that you had experience with. So how do you know you're on the right track if that's the only place you had experience with?
So as we were doing the classes, there were agents from Keller Williams Capital Properties that were brought in to speak to different sessions that we were learning about. And so for me, it was more of a feeling, right? I think to me, I got like, okay, well, this is a culture where agents, they don't really get a benefit out of coming in to teach us and help us with the courses, but they came in and was able to share the knowledge and really assist us with getting the information to pass the test. Because as someone who's kind of looking back at it now, like that really was a huge factor in me continuing with it. Because even before that, just to not make a short story long, but even before that, I had taken a pre-licensing course before and didn't finish. So it actually took me about 2 years to actually get my license. And it wasn't until I was able to kind of get that support from agents and having those conversations that I realized, okay, well, this is a sharing culture. This is an environment where I know that I can learn, grow, and be mentored by experienced agents.
So, when you actually got started, what were the first few months like? Were you still working? Were you full-time? Were you part-time? How'd your entry into the business go?
So I tell people all the time, I wouldn't do this again, but I as soon as I got my license, I quit my job because I thought I can't have two jobs. So I'm either going to be a real estate agent or I'm going to be in this sales and marketing role, which was full-time.
Burn the boots.
Yeah. And so I jumped in 100%. Not realizing that it was a learning curve, right? Real estate sales is not the same thing as the structure that I was in sales and marketing. And so, yes, I was full time, but I had no idea what I was doing. And so, even going through the productivity training that Keller Williams provides, I had this idea of what I thought a real estate business looked like. And even though that they were trying to teach something else, I couldn't necessarily see that at that time. And so for me, a real estate business means, oh, I have to get a website. I have to get flyers. I have to get business cards. Everything has to look good and perfect. Meanwhile, nobody knew I was actually in real estate. I wasn't making those calls. I wasn't reaching out to people to let people know, like, hey, I had a transition in careers, and I'm now in real estate. I can help you with your real estate needs. And so the first year, I sold one home. And so that was really tough for me because while I did have savings, that's what I was kind of living off at the time. Like, I was living off my savings. I was still kind of DJing part-time. So I had a little bit of income coming in here and there. But for the most part, I was trying to make this real estate thing work. And so the first year I sold one home, and I did that through working in the office. I was doing office hours, and somebody called in and said, hey, I want to sell my home. And lucky for me, I was the person who picked up. And so that's how I got my first sale.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And so how'd the second year go?
And I wish it didn't take this long, but second year, I got it right. So second year was the year I joined the Mikita Group, the sales team, MG Residential. I got a coach, I got a mentor, and I closed 11 deals that second year. And so for me, that was my first real year in real estate. The first year I was kind of figuring everything out, but that second year I was actually meeting with clients. I was selling homes. I was doing the things that real estate agents do. And so for me, that I kind of think about how I made it to this point right now. And I think that quality is that I didn't quit, because I easily, mm-hmm. like even looking back, like it wasn't easy. Like selling one home a year is not going to put food on the table. And so for me, just that the fact that I didn't quit, I was able to kind of see it through that second year is the reason why I'm sitting here now in year six or seven.
Yeah. And just to put that in perspective, Daniel, right? I just want to put this in perspective for some of our listeners, because, you know, I think a lot of people getting started are like, oh my gosh, I'm so far behind. I'm not going to make it, right? And so, you know, Daniel was a 30 under 30 in 2022, right? Is that right?
2021.
Yeah. 2021, right? Mm-hmm. So he's talking about 2017.
Yeah.
To 2021.
Yeah.
That's 4 years, right? That's 4 years. So I want y'all to hear that from a year in real estate, selling one house, sticking with it, fast forward 4 years, one of the top 30 young realtors in all of America, right? And that's like, tell us a little bit about that. Like, I know you don't, you're a humble guy, but yeah. Like, that's a pretty big accomplishment. And I think puts in perspective some stuff for people.
It's one of those things that I couldn't even imagine happening, right? I think you get into this business and you're trying to figure it out. You want to be successful and you want to do all the right things. But just even having that recognition or being recognized on a national stage was something that I couldn't even dream of. And so for me, I think the important piece was, okay, am I going to... I guess it's not really about recognition. It's about doing the work. I think for me, and again, the reason I got into real estate was a little bit selfish at first. I wanted to know more about real estate investing. Like, I wanted to be a real estate investor. And I thought in order to do that, just like the people that I saw when I was doing the real estate club, like in order to do that, I felt that I needed to get a real estate license. And so I was teaching myself like the game of real estate, but I was also showing other people as I was learning. And so I think that's kind of where the success was. I didn't target like luxury buyers. Like, I didn't target sellers specifically. I helped the people around me who were college graduates, who had some money and wanted to know, well, how do I make a better life for myself? And so I knew the answer was real estate, but I was able to kind of show them along the way. And that's how I made it here to 30 under 30, because it was just not knowing what I was doing to like, okay, well, I actually have a purpose. Like, I'm actually helping people and going through this process.
Yeah. As you think about that, I don't know, you know, I've always been, it's always just so awesome to see that determination and that growth. When you look back on it, when you look back on, you know, the past 6 or 7 years, what do you think has been, you know, some of the keys to your success? Like, if you had to pull out a few things, you say, hey, this actually made the difference. I know Emmerich's always thinking about how people excel.
Yeah.
Like one of the things I'm always hearing from Unc over there is that like he's dedicated his life to seeing people move through that progression. And so I'm interested from your perspective, what do you think were the keys that made you successful?
Well, hey, Bo, and with that, what do you think were the keys and what do you believe other people could do to maybe emulate what you did? Because everybody don't have the same skill set, but what were the keys and what could somebody else do what you did that would have made it easier that you just don't learn about it until you do it?
Yeah, so I think one is being learning based, right? Even in this position that I am right now, like there's so much that I still have to learn. And coming into this business, I was in every training. I was attending. I was attending every seminar. I was going to other realtor seminars just to see how they were communicating the real estate process to their clients. I think that becoming learning based is number one. And so I'm never, even with being 30 under 30 and getting awards and all these kind of things, like I would never even presume that I know everything or that I can't get better. And so I think being learning based is number one. I think number two, as I mentioned before, is persistence. So we talked about year one and year two. Year three, I actually sold less. Forget what was going on in year three, but I didn't do as well as I planned to in year two. And so as I was growing my business, my expenses started to get higher. I was investing in other things to help grow my business, and it didn't really pan out. And it got so bad for me that I actually started looking for a full-time job. I said, I'm running out of money. My savings is dwindling. I'm not having enough income coming in to kind of support this business and support my lifestyle. I may need to go back to getting another job. Thankfully, that didn't work out. I think I may have interviewed at one place and decided not to hire me. So I thought maybe I'm just not set out to work for somebody else. But it ended up working out because I think after I got that denial, maybe 3 months later, I was really back on track. And so for me, just having that persistence, not quitting, and again, I hate to say this because it does sound very general, right? I mean, that's advice that everybody gives, but it really is the truth. If you stick with it, I think it's persistence over time. Having that long form view that, okay, well, I may not see success tomorrow. I might not see it next year, but if I do the right things, it's going to come eventually. And I truly believe that.
And that's what they say. They say consistency beats talent time over time. So somebody may be more talented than you. However, the consistency that you show will supersede that because you're spending time in mastery.
Yeah.
And I like that. I absolutely love that. You just said, I just got to keep going.
And I think we live in an era where that's very difficult to do because we right. want everything fast. We want it quick. And not only that, but in this age of social media where maybe we're watching our peers succeeding, we're watching other people do great things. And we're saying, well, that should be me. That should be me today. Not knowing that they probably put in the work and now it's starting to show itself.
That's really interesting because I think there's two things you're hitting on here. One is, you know, success. It's not this linear thing. Like we don't just put in a little bit of work. We get this little extra thing.
Right.
It's this journey, right? This up and down. And sometimes it goes forward, takes a step back before it takes off again. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, you know, it's this windy road that tilts up. That takes us where we're going. I would love to hear your perspective. Like, you know, in our industry, in the sales industry, I also think we've had a lot of conversations on this show as men of color, how oftentimes our success story is defined by like kind of we did it all by ourselves. I'd be interested for you to share in your life, who are some of the people, relationships, things that have influenced your success. When you think about your success career, do you point to a few relationships, conversations, interactions with others that were instrumental in helping you get to where you are today?
Number one, the first person that comes to mind is my very first coach who I'm still working with today, Martin Weldon. I'm only in this position because he saw me in the office and chose to take me under his wing. As a professional in real estate now, I see the importance of mentorship and coaching. But honestly, back then, that wasn't a thing that I was exposed to. I didn't have a mentor. I thought only athletes needed coaching. Mm-hmm. And so now that I'm in this world of real estate and as a working professional, I see that that is huge. And so that honestly, like hands down, that was the key to having the success that I have now, is for somebody to tap me on my shoulder and say, hey, like, this is what you're doing wrong, but this is what you need to be doing. And so that was huge for me. I think another person who was instrumental was Alex Aron. He's the CEO of Blank Slate Development Firm in Baltimore. And he was the president of the real estate club at Howard University. Mm-hmm. And so just having him there, just having someone who's not much older than me, but in this position, who he wants to give back to the students, people who had the same interests as him, to me, and I tell him this all the time, I mean, that was huge. I don't know if I'd be in real estate if it wasn't for him forming that club and getting these professionals in to kind of talk to us.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
So you talked about the people around you. You talked about being consistent. What's next? What are you looking at next? What are you doing to go to that next level? Do you have a coach? Do you still have a coach? And what are you going to do to go to the next level? What's the next level for you?
Yeah, so I still have a coach. The next level for me is leverage. I think I've done what I can in the position that I'm in. And so I know that in order to help more people, in order to reach the financial goals that I need for myself, I need to grow my leadership lid. And so I can't do that if I'm not helping other individuals grow within this business, just like I have. And so I think for me, that's what the next step looks like. And whether that's partnering with agents and bringing them into the business to help them grow, whether that's having additional admin help or showing assistance, but essentially bringing people into my world so I'm able to grow this business that I have to way more than I can do on my own.
Cool.
I love that. Can you share a little bit, Dale, about how you think about that? Like having done stuff on your own, talk to us a little bit. You know, we talk a lot in career visioning. We talk about going from I do it to we do it to they do it to theirs. Mm-hmm. And as you think about someone who's had a lot of success as an individual, you start to think about building your leadership lid. Tell me, what are some of the things that you're working on, that you're thinking about?
Yeah.
Any struggles or any big wins in that journey? Because I think that's such an important journey for so many of the folks out there on the leadership journey.
It is, for me, it's unnatural. I think I've always been an I do it person. I'm a very independent person. I am the type where I like to work by myself. Like if there's a task that needs to be done, like I've never been great. I work well as a team, but I've never been enthusiastic about group projects, right? So if I can do it by myself, even though the workload is more, I know that I can have my hand. I trust me. So I have my hand in everything. I know it's done right. That doesn't work as you're trying to grow a business. And so for me, the biggest challenge has been, okay, who can I bring into my world? Who can I give these responsibilities to so I can go out and do more and do the mission critical stuff when it comes to the business? I think the other thing is that when it's not natural for you to kind of bring people into your world and to grow your business, it almost comes to you as a necessity. And so now as my family's growing, I don't have the time to do everything. And so luckily, it makes that decision-making easier, the fact that, oh, I need to bring other people to help me grow this business and this idea that I'm looking to grow. It makes it easier because it's a necessity. However, the challenges that come up is, all right, well, how do I go about doing it the right way? Because it's not a space that I'm used to. It's not something, I mean, outside of attending career visioning, it's not something that people actually teach.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome time. We're moving into a space We're going from a space that we know and we do well into a space that we don't know. We don't yet know how we perform. And that takes a lot of courage, especially when you've performed at a high level in that first space. It's okay, let me hop over here. Let me try this thing out. Now, I know conceptually that I need to do this so that this could be valuable. But when I go over there, oh my gosh, like I'm playing a different game. I'm not sure I got all the rules right. I'm not sure I have the skills to play this game at a high level because I'm starting to learn something new.
Yeah, it's a different skill set. Absolutely.
And so, you know, with that being in mind, the reality is that you do have to step out of your comfort zone, right? And the beautiful part is that you recognize your challenges. And I think you said a mouthful when you said that when you mention it, you don't like to hand things to other people because you think you can get it done. You said a mouthful. And that's one of the biggest things that hinder people from getting to the next level is they're not willing to leverage. And so just your ability to acknowledge that is huge. And so like this next level, this team, leveraging, bringing other people into your world. So when you bring these people into your world, what are you going to do? Because they're there. What are you going to do? And when you get this leverage?
Yeah. So for me, like my ultimate personal goal is to build a real estate portfolio for myself. And so if I'm giving myself extra time to do other things, and that's kind of that's my North Star. So everything that I do is so I can build this real estate portfolio because my parents, my mother just retired. My dad's still working. And so for me, it's always been, okay, how do I put myself in a position where I can retire, where I have money coming in and I can live the life that I want to live comfortably, especially for me and my family now. How can I go about doing that? And so the answer I discovered early on was real estate. And so for me, it's about building a real estate portfolio for us to be able to do that, for us to be able to manage. So I think that's what my life and what my business would eventually look like. Real estate sales is just a vehicle to get me there.
I love that. And we've talked a lot about in our wealth building journey and continuum about how you move from using your time and talent to generate capital to then using your time, talent, and capital to generate capital to then having your capital generate capital. I think you've really summed up really well, you know, some keys that we all could take away on how you build a successful sales business, you know, to be learning based, to be persistent, to stick with it through the ups and downs, to be surrounded by great mentors, even, you know, to be able to find and appreciate those great mentors, and then be willing to challenge yourself, take those next steps in leadership, in a leadership journey, and step into some of the uncomfortable unknown and figure that out. Can you tell, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit. You know, in 2021, you were one of this rarefied club of 30 under 30s. You know, it's super exciting at Kellams Capital Properties. We've had the honor of having, I think it's 10 different 30 under 30s over the last couple of decades. And it's sort of become an exciting opportunity to have from this one little brokerage, such a strong number of people represented nationally as one of the top young realtors in America. So can you tell us a little bit about that experience? I think there's a lot of people out there that aspire to that. They want to do that or they've heard about it. Tell us a little bit about like, what was that experience like for you and what impact did it have on your business and your life?
Yeah, it was, it happened so fast from the time that I applied because for me, I mean, again, I'm in this thinking like, all right, well, 30 under 30, these are the people who are selling the most in the country. I know I'm not selling the most in the country. These are the people who are doing these huge things. And in reality, that's not what the application, that's not what the organization is all about. In reality, they're looking for people, they're looking for change makers in the areas around the country. They're looking for people who are going to stand up the values of NAR. They're looking for people who one way or another show a trajectory that they're going to be bigger than where they are currently. And so one thing that I realized from applying and from being in 30 under 30 is that it's not what it seems. It's actually way better than it seems. And so when people were encouraging me to apply and tell me about the benefits, they've always led with, hey, you'll get a ton of referrals, right? If you're 30 under 30, you'll get a ton of referrals from other members, and you'd be on this national stage and people are going to send you all this business. Sure, you will get referrals, but going after 30 under 30 or applying or wanting to be a part of this elite club, going after 30 under 30 for referrals is sort of like using AI to write your emails, right? It's so much more than that. And so what I realize is now that I'm a part of the group is that these are business owners. Like these are people who aren't just in real estate sales anymore, because like you said, there are people who've been 30 under 30 for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Individuals like yourself who are mammoths in their industry, this is the club that I'm now a part of. It's not about selling homes anymore. It's about creating businesses, creating a larger impact, whether you're in real estate or out of real estate. And so the fact that I'm part of this fraternity has absolutely changed my life. And not because I've been able to sell more properties, but because I'm able to lean on some of these individuals who have experiences and are places where I'm not yet, but where I'm looking to go.
Right. And so and winding this episode down some, you know, what is it that other people can do to help you get to where you want to go? What is it that I can do to help you get to where you want to go?
Man, that's a great question.
It's a great question. We all have to figure out who's going to be included in our journey. So who's the who?
So for me, when I think about my journey and what I need to do, the way I envision it in my head, I'm not who I am yet in order to achieve what I need to achieve. And so to me, a lot of it is personal growth. A lot of it is, again, what more I can learn to help grow this business, because I know real estate, right? I don't necessarily need to be taught on how to invest in real estate, how to buy property, how to leverage those assets. But I think for me, okay, if I need to grow my business, if I need to make more money, if I need to do a lot of these things, then I need to, that person, that who I need to become has to be able to handle that. And so—
Can you say that one more time, Daniel? I think you said, I'm not who I need to be yet.
Yeah.
To achieve what I want to achieve.
Absolutely.
That's a very powerful statement.
Yeah.
I'm not who I need to be yet to achieve what I want to achieve.
If I had everything that I want in that 5 or 10 year vision, the person I am today wouldn't know what to do with it. And so I think that personal growth is maybe something that I can get from you, Emery, right? It's that, all right, well, who do I need to be? How do I actually need to operate in my day to day in order to put myself in a position where when those things start to come, I'm able to receive it, handle it responsibly and do what I need to do.
And I know it was a tricky question, but it's a real question that we don't ask, because typically, in order for any of us to get to the next level, we require a hand up, a leg up, a foot up. Somebody's got to help us. And so I just want to make sure that you think about that and our audience thinks about that. Who's the who that's going to help them get to the next level? And we have to go out and find that person and make sure that person is willing to step into that role. And of course, you have Bo there, which is a phenomenal example of what it is. But then just make sure you use your resources to get to the next level. And I would tell all of our listeners, make sure you use your listeners, the people around you, to help you get to the next level, because you know that's where the magic happens when you start incorporating other people into your vision and into your life.
I love that, Emric. You said, who's your who that's going to help you get where you need to be? And I believe that Daniel just told us, he also asked the question, who's the who you need to become so that you can go where you need to do? So who are the people you need to be with? And who are the people you need to be with? And who is the person you need to become so that you can achieve the things that you want to achieve. Dan, I want to turn it back to you just for a last word as we wrap up. I'd love you to share just, you know, any final thoughts you have. And I'd love you just to share with our listeners, because a lot of our work here has been about wealth, how you're building wealth for you and your family, and why you think that's important.
Yeah, I think, it's super important, because I've come from I lived almost two different lives, right? I mean, I've come from a two-parent household for up until I was probably about 12 or 13, then my parents split. And after that, we're a little tough, right? I mean, my mom was working 70 hours a week, had two jobs as an emergency room nurse. And so for me, I felt that. And so wealth has always been a selfish journey for me. I want to be in a position where I have choices. I want to be in a position where I can provide for my family. I want to be in a position where I can support the organizations that I want to support, that I can uphold even my family members, right? And so the way I really, I mean, there's many ways to go about it. The way I decided to go about it was through real estate. And so I always teach my clients that two properties can change your life. Luckily, I've come from a family where my parents did own their home. So it wasn't a foreign concept to me, but I didn't understand that you can actually build a business by owning real estate, that you can achieve financial freedom through owning real estate. And so the way we've been able to do it is simply through owner occupancy. And the way I think about real estate is if you do it early, if you do it often, and if you could do it for as inexpensive as possible, you'll look up 10, 15 years later and you'll be in a way better financial position. And so we're doing it through owner occupancy. We purchased our first home about 4 years ago. We lived in it, rented it out, and it's rinse and repeat, right? After that, we've been leveraging HELOCs in order to pull equity out of the property. And now we have money that we wouldn't have had access to, whether it not be for real estate. And so I'm a buy and hold guy. I know some people believe in fix and flips and wholesaling and all these other creative things. I think when it comes to real estate, you don't have to get too creative. The blueprint is there. And so I make it simple for myself. And when I teach others, I do the same thing.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And I it's been an amazing journey. I think seeing all your success over the last 7 years. Congratulations again on 30 under 30.
Appreciate it.
And you know, I know that Emmerich and myself and the rest of the crew will be looking out to see what the next 30 years look like. So someday, you know, you can start joining Emmerich in the 60 over 60 club or what's coming up and breaking it down where the old school heads do. But no, thanks for joining us today. Emmerich, anything you want to say to close us out?
No, just thank you, Daniel. I look forward to your success and I look forward to that phone call.
Cool. Appreciate it.
All right.
This is The Color of Money coming to you live. So with Daniel Walcott and the 30 under 30 journey. Have a great day.
Thank you all.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.